Unity, the strength and the sure success. All for one and one for all. Unity means solidarity. Yeah. United we stand. Divided we fall.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, one and all, to another fabulous episode of the Vinny Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnyEastwoodShow.com. That's a Vinny with a Y. This is the most important question, apparently. On the show, we tend to, well, I'm starting to have a new habit of having panel discussions. And of recent times, there's been plenty of limey bastards around there. And by limey bastards, I mean people from the UK or the USSK, as the case may be. And we've got two of them on the line here. We've got Keelan Bullison, and some of you may recognize him from YouTube. He's got the YouTube channel Wide Shut UK. And he's recently done a documentary on 7/7, contributing to this panel discussion as well. We have Roger Walker, who's a fully functioning awakenings guru of sorts. And firstly, before I start to explain who these people are to you, I'd rather actually have them explain it themselves. So, Keelan, let's start with you.
Hey, how's it going, man? Well, I don't claim to be anyone special. I'm not some kind of truth guru, but you can still buy my DVD if you want. I'm just one guy that figured out the world is a corrupt mess, and I happen to be in a position where I can help spread some information about that, because I work from home, so I've had the time to set up a website, wideshut.co.uk, and I also do a radio show on resistradio.com, which also has its fair share of limey bastards. And we also have half the hosts that are American as well, so we try and bridge that gap. But yeah, just one guy trying to spread some awareness.
Yep, absolutely. A colonialist if ever I saw one. And also we have Roger Walker. And what's your story, man?
Put very simply, rather than looking on the outside and working out what was going on, I looked on the inside to work out why what was going on the outside was happening. What is the flaw in the human condition that's causing us to be, to ourselves, our own worst enemy, and to the planet, a virus?
Well, I'd probably say that we're both right and we're both wrong.
You can do it either way.
Yeah, this is the understanding that I've come to, is that if I assume that everything I know to in fact be true is in fact wrong, I just haven't seen the evidence for it, then I'm just walking around on a base assumption that I could be wrong. And so therefore being wrong is a good thing, because it means that you're right about being wrong.
Ah, but when you're stuck in naive realism, you think your thinking is correct purely because you're thinking it, and that's not the best place to bat from.
And sometimes when you're thinking, you're overthinking, and you make sure that all of your thoughts in your head are the only thing that you think about, and you wind up withdrawing from society and retreating inwards.
Or forming an elite group of psychopaths who won't be happy until they control everything.
Of course. Because they only retreat inwards. It's like when you think about a psychopath, and I think we had a great guy, Thomas Sheridan, who wrote a book of The Labyrinth of the Psychopath or something like that. And we talked about how there's about 4% of the population are currently psychopaths. And interestingly enough, correlates with something David Icke said, that 4% of people have reptilian eyes. And I was like, what? That can't be a coincidence. And I was wondering if David Icke pulled off the psychopath thing and he just laid it on top of it on a base assumption, hadn't done any research to back it up. I don't know. I never asked the guy. But when we talk about psychopaths, hey, They're in your frickin' daily lives, ladies and gentlemen. Have a look at your employers, please, for a moment. or any previous employer. You realize, hey, they really didn't care about me. Hey, they were actually really quite ruthless and didn't have any depth to their personality and couldn't maintain any long-lasting relationships. That's the definition of a psychopath.
Yep. That'll do. Essentially, what's going on, Vincent, it might help to simplify things in terms of human behavior. If your listener can maybe get a piece of paper on the left-hand side, write egocentric, draw a line across the paper, and on the other side, write selflessness. We all exist somewhere in that line. The ones across to the left we could generically call the sinners, and the ones across to the right we could generically call the saints. And so all behavior comes from either egocentric fear and control and domination, because the ego divides, judges, and then seeks to control, or there's the selfless who has found their heart and realizes they have love to give, rather than wandering through this earth looking for somebody to give it to them. It's either whether somebody is complete or not. We go through a physical puberty. We have been stolen a rite of passage that allows us to be complete human beings connected to what is and have divine inspiration rather than neurotic, linguistic, left-brain thought. And you're either in one half of your brain wondering what's going on in the outside world, or you're quiet on the inside and you're only on the outside world. It's literally, where's your head at? What are you thinking about? What's it doing?
Well, it sounds to me a lot like television. When you're watching television for about 30 seconds, the frame refresh rate on most televisions is more than the conscious mind can actually contemplate. So instead of staying alive and in the left brain and the analytical and the logical, your brain has to slip into a sort of a subconscious, semi-conscious state in the right brain, which is the emotional, the suggestible. And you never notice that, hey, this thing really is zombifying me. This thing is actually kind of putting me into a zombie kind of state. It really is brainwashing. Yep. And when I think about brainwashing, I see absolutely no end to it. So the thinking on my part is, how much do people actually have a role to play in how they actually think in today's society? Because there's so much brainwashing, then that can anybody be said to have an original thought in their head at all? I think not. I don't think I've ever come up with anything original in my entire lifetime, because there's nothing new under the sun.
The way to look at that, I understand what you're saying, the television plays on the ego because everything's a competition. You can't watch any form of culture without Simon Cowell hosting it and people phoning in to vote for somebody that won't be heard of in 18 months' time and nobody will remember. We can't just watch people singing beautifully, choirs or individuals, purely for the fun of it. No, no, no. It has to compete. You've got to decide that one is better than the other. The ego judges on a ladder, a sliding scale. It's a bilateral comparator. As long as they train the left-hand hemisphere, everyone will be stuck in their ego. The left-hand hemisphere only processes 100 bits a second. The right-hand hemisphere, 150,000. That's where original thought comes. Only there is no speech in the right hemisphere. It's pictures, images, theatre. All thought doesn't come from the same place. Once you can identify the difference, you can see how the methodology is used to train the monkeys to stay in the left brain and be frightened, judgmental, egocentric, and divisional. Get out of that frame of reference, move out of your left brain, become inspired, be quiet, and that's where original thought comes from. Genius lies in the right brain. All artists, all the greatest scientists who are also, from my point of view, divinely connected, were the ones who brought us great and profound new thought.
What about the ones...
Somebody who doesn't do that is Richard Dawkins and the pathetic books he writes on divinity and theology. And I've already emailed him to ask him how many more books he's going to write on subjects he knows nothing about and has never experienced.
Well, I was going to say, what about the genius of psychopathy? Let's take 7-7, for example, Keelan, if you want to weigh in here. What do you reckon that the planning, the scope of all of the cover up would it denote a real genius planner?
It depends how you look at it, because generally speaking, the public have already been trained so much to not question things themselves that by the time we get to something like 7-7, it doesn't have to be an elaborate job. They can just slide it by without anyone noticing anyway, because we're already, you know, apathetic to everything.
Well, I think the apathy comes from the lack of trust, right? But because nobody trusts the mainstream media anymore, and this is true in major polls where major news networks in America now have lower ratings than the Chuck Norris Total Gym infomercial. like seriously, bro, they are tanking huge amounts of money. In New Zealand, the megacorp that owns the third television and fourth television channel and a big radio network and all of that kind of stuff, they owe $43 million to the government for the radio licensing that they can't pay up because they're broke as. And they're $300 million in the hole per year anyway, you know?
I tell you what you need to do, Vincent. You need to find somebody who's good on the law and actually put them into administration for themselves now.
Well, I say what we do is we actually steal all of their audiences by providing good content that people want to see. Because let's take Jesse Ventura's conspiracy theory, for example. People really want this information. That thing got shot up to number one on that thing. And all of the times when conspiracy theories are brought out on television, the ratings spike. So I figure that the alternative media can actually capitalize on that, steal the current mainstream media's remaining audience, bankrupt them, and then buy them out later for pennies on the pound.
It's playing them at their own game, then, Vincent. Fair enough.
You have to use the weapons of the enemy against them. I mean, let's say...
Careful. I'd rather go forward in the current situation of the world with arms linked together with a sea of enlightened philosophers who are morally and ethically probate to assume the devices of your enemy. As Gandhi said, you know, an eye for an eye leaves the world blind. So better to go forward as Gandhi rather than Hitler, I think, just to show a lead by example, should we say, rather than using the...
The tactics of the New World Order, whenever they stage anything, whether it be a health crisis, as is happening now with this E. coli outbreak, which has been confirmed to be an engineered virus,
mm-hmm.
And also the 9/11, 7/7, whatever they want to do in order to pass any legislation or whatever to accumulate more power for themselves and the governments that serve them, they just stage something anyway. And like you said, people are brainwashed enough so that they can just slip it right in there and nobody will be the wiser. Now, where it comes into it here is that when they're doing events like this or using natural events to capitalize on whatever they're selling, then what if we, instead of using those events to accumulate power for ourselves, used it to simply destroy the power of the New World Order, destroy their influence, take out their infrastructure? Things of that nature, like arresting leaders. Like, imagine if David Rockefeller and half the Rothschild family and the Bin Laden family and the Bush family and all of these high-profile families, the Dutch royals and all Bilderberg Group members, Trilateral Commission members, etc. What if they were all indicted and had a public trial for which, at the end of it, if they'd shown to have committed war crimes or engaged in high-level corruption, which resulted in the deaths of millions of people, then Nuremberg laws come into effect. Even if they were just following orders, they still wind up having to pay the price of hanging. Now, imagine how radically different the world would be if all of these secretive roundtable groups that basically administer all of our international policy were suddenly snuffed out by lawful measures and peaceful protest.
Well, one of the most productive things, I think, was done by Iceland. They are actually arresting bankers. They're bringing charges against the bankers, and they did the right thing. They're practically economically neutral now. They've managed to recover from the rape and pillage of Wall Street, the Federal Reserve, and other machinations of the bankers, and everyone should do that. Greece should have done it. They should reinvent the drachma and put the gold into that before the IMF robs them of it. Ireland's already keeled over. They've lost effectively all sovereignty. And even the media there are still thinking, no, this is what it's meant to be. You talked about the genius of psychopathology. There isn't any. That's why we're spotting all the drop balls. The real geniuses can see the things that are missing or the things that are there that shouldn't be, that blow the game. And that's why there is so much information from yourself and many other people who are exposing this.
And speaking of the information exposing all of this, I actually wanted to talk about 7/7 in itself as a real example of how terrorism is carried out on the public in order to get them to do what they want. And for me, it seems quite obvious that the problem that our government has is that people won't just suddenly do rash things and give away their rights based on absolutely nothing. Something does have to happen that's really, really big and spectacle, even if it's blown out of proportion in the media, in order to get somebody afraid enough to just go, oh, well, you know, we've got to stop those terrorists. I'm prepared to give up some of my liberty. That's all right, you know. I don't mind being searched or groped. I don't mind being microwaved when I go through airports. That's fine. I don't mind being photographed 150 times on CCTV camera just when I go to the shop to get some ciggies. That's fine.
The obvious thing about this is the lack of sovereignty of countries, and every single cooperative government has to be committing treason and selling the people out in the country they're supposed to be working on behalf of if the New World Order is to exist. In other words, all governments are working for people over their head rather than the people they've been voted for. Treason has been taking place in this country for at least 100 years, if not longer, from almost every single government.
Well, that was a question that I posed yesterday to myself. Should we have the death penalty, but only have it for those who are committed of treason? You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We'll be right back.
Black sunrise, shadow coming over the sky. Black sunrise, always gonna be a surprise, 'cause we don't know the way it's going to go.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. To the show that's all about the thunderclouds rolling in and zapping you and being charged by the harp energy weapons. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. And good idea to check out Guerrilla Media. I've found a new game you can play. You can go to Guerrilla Media and you can search any term. And we just post the nastiest, roughest articles on that website, man, with the kind of headlines that make you squirm. So you can search any key term and you come up with some really, really bad news. It's hilarious. I dare you to give it a try. GuerrillaMedia.co.nz. And my very special guests, Keelan Balderson of Wide Shut UK, and Roger Walker, the fully functioning awakening guru of sorts. We wanted to talk about, speaking of fully functioning, there's a mechanism that is fully functioning in the New World Order, and it's called the Bilderberg Group, one of the highest profile but extremely frickin' secret groups in the world, for which there are copious quantities of major CEOs like of Google and Coca-Cola and Pepsi and Exxon, and people like Henry Kissinger and the Queen of the Netherlands, who owns Dutch Royal Shell. These are the financial and military and resource captains of industry of the entire world, about 150 of them or so. Very, very small elite group of people. And they meet every year at some inextricable location around the world to hatch their dastardly schemes against us. And I'm actually being fairly freaking serious when I say that. They plan everything. there's virtually no event, major or otherwise, around the world that goes off without the say-so of the Bilderberg Group, especially when it concerns oil prices or the relaxation of people's liberties and descent into tyranny, or unilaterally struck wars and whatnot. All goes under the hammer. It's the whole world, ladies and gentlemen, and it's going cheap, just like the human life form. So, and Keelan, I need your input on here. Where is the most recent Bilderberg Group meeting happening right now?
Well, it's going on right now in Switzerland. And before the break, we were kind of talking about the media and the propaganda. And this is just a pure example of how they can keep it quiet to us, but elsewhere, they are actually reporting it. I mean, there are people protesting there in Switzerland. The local news in Switzerland are covering it. Members of parliament are actually trying to march up there into the hotel. Yet here in the UK, where I am, the most esteemed news organisation in the world, the BBC, all they can do is write articles and do radio shows about how people that believe in Bilderberg, you know, they must be mentally ill, or they must believe in lizards that control us or whatever. They actually had these programmes on the other day. They had two debunkers on, Jonathan Kay, who's generally a 9/11 debunker, and then David Aronovich, who wrote a book, you know, debunking every conspiracy theory because he knows everything about everything. But they're ruining their own credibility. Like we were talking about earlier, how we're basically taking over from where they've left off, because the info is out there and people are starting to wake up to it. And, you know, my website, just recently, when the whole Bin Laden thing went down, my traffic tripled. So people do want to know what's happening.
Yeah, I noticed that at my website too. As soon as we put up the articles about Bin Laden, I did that within a minute or so of the television got interrupted live broadcast of an empty frickin' pulpit where Obama was eventually going to step out and say something. And then it turns out later that they pre-recorded that whole thing.
Well, it's amazing.
And all the Situation Room photos were fake. And that the chopper that crashed was actually a classified design. And they were trying to...
They expect us to believe that, unquestioningly. But if you go by the available evidence, you know, the evidence suggests that obviously Bin Laden died shortly after 9/11, rather in this so-called compound. He had a kidney disease. Former Pakistan President Musharraf says that he's dead. It was reported in the Pakistan Observer, in Fox News, French, Egyptian media. So when Obama comes out, and says, oh, we killed him today, the burden of proof is on Obama, and he's presented none. I mean, okay, they released that video of an old man sitting in a room that kind of looked like Bin Laden, but all the local residents, the media actually went there to interview the local residents, and they're like, guys, that's not Bin Laden, that's my neighbour, Akbar Han. So if they killed anyone, it's an innocent guy called Akbar. So.
Allahu Akbar!
What do you think of this thing that Obama's social security number has been found to be a fake?
I hadn't heard about that. I heard about his...
it's the latest thing. They've interrogated the national insurance numbers in America start with the state where an individual first works in, and there's no record of him working there. He's actually got somebody else's social security number. He's taken a dead person's social security number because apparently they're still going on the premise that he is absolutely a Kenyan.
Oh. Well, the birth certificate issue is quite interesting. I got to say, because I thought when Obama got elected that the next president is going to be Arnold Schwarzenegger. Because, hey! You don't have to have a natural-born president anymore. The American public will just accept it and be conditioned into saying, oh, well, you know, so what if he's been born in Kenya and he's been living under a false pretense and had up to five aliases and completely spent more money than the entire U.S. presidency combined in his first year of office? So what? You know? Let's just vote somebody else in next time, you know? Arnie, the Presidentinator.
Don't make it any worse than it already is.
No, there is no upper ceiling to how bad it can get, I assure you.
I think the beauty is the tension on the planet at the moment is between the division of those who are aware of what's going on around them, that have quite successfully built the generic model that all the bits now fit on, and they can see the mechanism at work within the globe, and those who are still playing it at such a level of surreality, you literally couldn't make it up. They're literally shooting themselves in the foot. And as the whole thing starts to collapse, that little group of egocentrists will fight amongst themselves, because in that group, one of them will want to win over all the others. So it will become an auto-destructive phenomena if it plays out badly enough and there's enough resistance across the globe. Non-compliance is the order of the day.
Well, I absolutely agree, especially in the case of vaccines. There's been a recent story in New Zealand here where they're asking, right, whether or not your child should be allowed to go into a public school without being vaccinated. Okay? And it's like, well, hold on, what about health freedom? What about being able to choose whether or not you have a vaccine? It's about 5% of New Zealand don't have vaccines. And I don't know what's worse, taking a vaccine that might give you a learning disability or being in public school, having your ability to learn disabled.
it doesn't even make any logical sense, because if everybody else is vaccinated, then surely those that chose not to and got the, you know, whatever illness, they're not going to pass it on to those that have been vaccinated. So.
Yeah, they're no threat. They're no medical threat.
Yeah. I mean, well, the term vaccine comes from vaca, which means cow in Spanish. And it comes from this old guy who used to basically inject viruses just into cattle to see if they'd become immune to it, kind of thing. And, you know, it's just like just madness. It's kind of like psychiatry. There's just no science in it whatsoever. Totally unsafe, totally untested. And the swine flu vaccine that you know, everybody was freaking out about. This, oh, it's a swine flu. It killed 22 people globally.
Oh, like, oh, but you'll be aware of the work of the maybe the CCHR, the Citizen Charter of Human Rights, which is an international organisation headed up by doctors and psychologists who are turning around to psychiatrists and basically saying, what on earth are you doing? All your diseases are made up. You only need, you can be on a desert island and suffer from anything from flu to cancer, but you always need two people for one of you to have a mental illness. And it's purely the perspective of somebody else's behaviour, but it assumes the psychiatrist is in the absolute place of perfection from which to measure the direction and magnitude of deviance. And if the psychiatrist themselves has a neurosis of their own, by definition, if they are abnormal but consider themselves normal, they could look at normal and therefore see it as abnormal. What you see depends on where you look at it from, not what you're looking at. So they're under attack big time by parts of their own profession. The Thomas Stars Prize is now given to psychologists who point out the absolute stupidity of a load of diseases in a book of which there is no pathological evidence. They're all inventions, they're not discoveries.
Yep, absolutely. The Diagnostic Statistical Manual, which is like 700 different mental disorders in there or something. Guess what scientific... 387. Oh, they add new ones every year. It's probably up... Yeah, they add up more every day, you know, just so that they can reprint the book every year.
It doesn't happen, it's bullshit.
Oh, you can't say that on the air, mate.
Sorry.
Yeah. FCC regulations, unfortunately.
There's no such thing
But you can say that the psychiatric industry is one of the main leading causes of death in America. You can say that they're genocidal, homicidal, sociopathic scum who take payoffs from pharmaceutical companies to give people dangerous drugs and hang themselves, even completely healthy individuals that are going through something as normal as breaking up with your first girlfriend and have all the, and you can say that they're all destroying the parents of the world as we speak. As all their kids start, stealing stuff out of the pantry and whatnot, man. And you can say that they're drugging the entire world in some way, shape, or form now, because everybody who goes to the bathroom and is taking prescription medication, that medication winds up in the water supply and doesn't get filtered out by normal filtration processes. Okay?
And, of course, they're trying to add, on top of the fluoride in the water, it's came out recently that experts are trying to add lithium to the water to stop people from committing suicide. But actually, a side effect of lithium for people that are already depressed is suicidal thoughts. So it is the complete opposite of what they claim. A lot of these things are backward. I did an article once on the HPV vaccine, the cervical cancer thing for girls. And in some women, this vaccine actually helps cause precancerous lesions. So a lot of these things do the exact opposite of what they claim.
Well, it's soft eugenics, you know. You're not agreeing with the plan we've got, therefore, rather than just wiping you out, we'll neuter you from having any effect to stand up and be an independent individual who wants to have a say. So they just medicate them into submission, really. And this can happen to individuals who have profound spiritual awakenings. There are a number of people I've heard of historically who've had Kundalini awakenings, have been institutionalized, they've been medicated, and what's happened is they've hit the epitome of human development, but have been seen to have something wrong with them by people who literally don't know what they're doing. Remember, psychiatrists aren't medically qualified. They're not doctors. They go through a psychiatric degree, and all you need is a follow-up of C-Psych for 1 year, and you can go into private practice. You can have absolutely almost no understanding of pathology behind the disease, and indeed, you have to not have, because there is no pathology behind the diseases that they're actually mentioning. When they say, there's a small problem with your brain chemistry, you know, we're just going to give you this. The question to ask is, what particular chemical pathway is breaking down? You will not get an answer. Once you start probing their decision-making, they fall over. There's no evidence for almost all the conditions that are in the DSM. There are literally 7 or 8 identifiable mental illnesses where you can find pathology. The rest are literally inventions. And it's it started off being putting kids into a situation where they move through life thinking somehow they're incomplete. There's something wrong with them. I've got this label. You know, I'm not a real person because somebody told me I was this. Well, churches have been telling people that they're this, that, and the other for years. It doesn't mean it's true. Belief is actually buying into what somebody says as if it was true without question. And it's the people who don't question anything that get stuffed. Catholicism, they're supposed to follow a God. They're supposed to love and fear at the same time. Can somebody explain to me how you do that?
You can't. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another way of thinking. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest, Roger Walker. And also Keelan Balderson from Wide Shut UK. We'll be right back after the break.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca, Mac, with me you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Mattawa, La Paloma, Bangor, Baltimore, Salvador, Amarillo, Tocopilla, Barranquilla, and Fidel. I'm a killer. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert, spare man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Boston, Charleston, Dayton, Louisiana, Washington, Houston, Kingston, Texas, Gallup, Monterey, Faraday, Santa Fe, Dolphins, Glen Rock, Black Rock, Little Rock, Oskaloosa, Tennessee, Tennessee, Chicopee, Spirit Lake, Grand Lake, Devil's Lake, Crater Lake, Beach Lake. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert, spare man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I've traveled, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Louisville, Nashville, Knoxville, Ombabaka, Shepherdville, Jacksonville, Waterville, Coastal, Rifle, Pittsfield, Springfield, Bakersfield, Shreveport, Hackensack, Cadillac, Fond du Lac, Davenport, Idaho, Jellicoe, Argentina, Diamondina, Pasadena, Catalina, Sea Point, Amina. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert, spare man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I've traveled, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Pittsburgh, Parkersburg, Gravelburg, Colorado, Ellensburg, Rexburg, Vicksburg, Eldorado, Larimore, Atmore, Havistaw, Chattanooga, Chaston, Nebraska, Alaska, Opelika, Baraboo, Waterloo, Kalamazoo, Kansas City, Sioux City, Cedar City, Dodge City, what a pity. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert, spare man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I've traveled, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been
of years ago, there was some kind of great cataclysm that made humanity almost come out of it with a post-traumatic sort of stress syndrome. And
I don't think that holds water. There may be there may be those who no. I think that's too historical. The thing about this is you can be self-realized in any moment. The history, admittedly, might have a weight on the individual, but our own collective history can be undone within a personal individual if they meditate and go into quiet self-examination as play rather than gnawing at themselves neurotically, as most would do in the egocentric mind. Then you can start to unfold yourself and you start asking questions like, what would happen if everything I'd ever been told was a lie? You know, how do you erase the slate? And you could go off left into Terence McKenna's work, you know, smack some DMT down your neck and go off and see it that way. But with drugs, it's only a short-term appreciation of the shaman and those who are the sort of followers of Timothy Leary, etc. It works, but you can't hold on to it. Meditation allows you to hold on to it because you're doing it.
So does that mean in meditation you're like living in full Technicolor vision, Alice in Wonderland styles and tripping balls? I don't think so.
Oh, no. What the appreciation is of the totality of everything from listening in the right hemisphere rather than talking about stuff in your left hemisphere. When situations are going on, say like this radio interview in real time, you and me and Keelan, I might drop into my left hemisphere. I won't and don't, but I could. And start going, oh, what they're talking about. If I'm thinking and focusing in my own thinking, I'm not listening to you. Does that make sense? I'm detached from you at that time. So I'm in receipt of less information because I'm using part of my processing ability to work out what I've just received. So I'm out of touch in that moment. To be in touch with the moment, one has to be fearless. Now, that's completely different from being brave. Being brave suggests there is an enemy that has to be vanquished. Being fearless is a state of mind where you realize enemies are purely of your own perception. So that brings a sense of equanimity, the same as yourself, in a world where we all hold hands. It's only the egocentrists that will look down from their narcissism or up from their inferiority complexes.
Well, I'm not sure what to really make of that, and the whole idea of looking inwards in order to solve your problems with the conflicts within. For me, it seems like if you want to solve the things that you're upset about, you need to build and make things that make those problems go away, or attempt to solve those problems in reality, like right here and now, so that you no longer have those influences.
I was going to say that you're right in your premise, but you're going about it the wrong way. It's not a question of building a new model, because otherwise what you're doing is jumping out of one box into another one. The idea of this is to throw the box away that constrained the individual in the first place. The way to do that is to look at how you've arrived at your view of the world. And most people have a horror of thinking, you know, I know who I am, you know, I'm this person, you know, I've always done this, I always think like this. And what they fail to realize is they've decided who they are because they've also decided who they're not. And so they've wiped out from their human association huge groups of people on egocentric prejudice. And that can be anything. Race, politics, religion, size, color of hair, anything. It can be anything where the ego goes, this person is X and smaller than me because of this thing they have. Now, it's one thing to notice difference. It's another thing to give it meaning and then act upon it. So to appreciate difference in the world, I take the view simplistically that we're in this place, this universe, which is all about spinning, balance, and opposites. And we're here to realize that whilst we're in a realm of opposites, we are the singularity that generates them from within. And appreciating the generation of the duplicitousness of the ego, you can stop it doing that. That brings a harmony on the inside, but also reflects itself on the outside. Taoists wanted to be at one with themselves. Buddhists wanted to be at one with everything. Zen Buddhism came about because they realized they'd arrived at the same place, but described it in slightly different terms. So they came together to put their teachings together, their philosophies, they're not theologies.
Well, that reminds me of a joke. A Buddhist walks up to a hot dog vendor and he says, can you make me one with everything?
There's a better one than that. The other one is, if a man in a forest speaks his mind and there's no woman there to hear him, is he still wrong?
Oh, yeah. Well, I've got a good T-shirt that I wear out to protest. It says, the police never think it's as funny as you do.
The new police never think it's funny. I mean, that's one of the things that's going off in the UK. You interviewed Elliot and Suck earlier in the week from Truth News Birmingham. I'm happily associated with them myself. And we're going through lots of little legal teachings and spreading it around of how to deal with the police, how to inform them what their rights are. You tell them what their rights are. Don't let them tell you what they're going to give you as rights. And always remember, in almost every country of the world, I think, you have the right to remain silent. So you can do that from the word go. So if they ask for your name and address, they're looking to contract with you because they're a corporate entity. If you don't contract, they can't do anything.
Well, in New Zealand, we're introducing legislation where it'll take away your right to silence.
Sorry, I don't agree with that legislation. And remember, the legislation is on fiction. The legislation is on the legal fiction, not the man or woman.
Oh, yeah.
You get bumped around the head with a baton, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. A baton is no fiction, bro. That's real. That hurts. It doesn't matter how ethereal you get about it, because they will kill you in some way, shape, or form. They will hurt you. They will attack your family. And they're currently already poisoning you and poisoning your mind. And that's the reality as I see it. And, of course, you talked about balance, and I think that there really does need to be a balance of looking inward and focusing on the problem with you is, and then also applying that outwardly to try and make this world a better place. Because if you can figure out where you're coming from, you can help yourself to figure out where you're freaking going, you know. And it's like so many people, they're charging off in some direction, like going to university or whatever, and they don't have any life experience. They've never traveled the world. They don't know anything about life. They don't know what they really want to be. And they wind up massively in debt. And now recently in the United States, it's now come out that you can be SWAT teamed and drafted into the military for not paying your college tuition fees.
Well, remember, I'm 53, and when I went to university, You had to be the top 4% in this country, otherwise you didn't go to any of them. And the reason was, we got a grant. And in that day, the political message was, a country should invest in its future, and all the children are a future. Then the Labour Party hung 50% of the children out to dry every year to the banks to pay for an education for all these squirrely degrees.
And we'll... Yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to hour number two of the soothing and grooving sounds of the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com is Vinnie with a Y because it's the most important question. It's the lighter side of genocide. We tend to crack up and make jokes about the more dark and deadly terrible things that are going on in this world, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. So say I, so say we all, etc., etc. we're having a kind of a fruit pie sensation of a show today, ladies and gentlemen. We're joined now by a cacophony of crazy conspiracy theorists. We've got Keelan and Roger, and now we're also joined by Sherry and Len, Sherry Kane and Len Horowitz, that is, from SherryKane.com and Healthy World Affiliates. Welcome, guys.
Hi, nice to be here. Thank you for having us again.
Hi there.
Okay, Len, I was just wondering whether or not you were there, Len.
I'm here with you, brother.
Always, always in spirit, if not in person.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the whole COINTELPRO operations for a moment, because it was interesting. Roger, before I brought you on the show today, and I told you Len and Sherry were coming on in the second hour, you flicked me an article, and Len, guess which article it was? It's the Knights of Malta list again.
Oh, no.
What's that all about? Like, it's obviously something stirring it for you guys. They're really stirring it up for you.
Did his name not stand out like a sore thumb for you on that crazy list?
Whose name? Sorry, Sherry.
Didn't Dr. Horowitz's name stand out like a sore thumb on that list? Did you get the fake Knights of Malta list, or do you actually have a real one?
Oh, no, it was an old thing. Yonks ago, I think David Icke put up on his channel in 2000.
Yeah, I think it has, like, Dr. Horowitz's name on there. It was this fake list.
That refused to pull it down.
He refuses to pull it down, David Icke. He won't pull it down. And we've proven that it was created by a guy named Greg Zemanski under an alias name of Eric Samuelson. And we've exposed that it was a created fake Knights of Malta list. They put him between people like Henry Kissinger and Richard Nixon and the Bushes, and it was just obvious that Len's name didn't belong on there.
You know, there's going to be a lot of that, though.
I'm sorry?
There's going to be a lot of that. There'll be, the counterclaims and the sort of counterclaims. It's a game played within itself, I think.
Yeah, and anybody who's a serious investigator can see the outstanding work that Sherry's done. I've helped a lot, but Sherry's really been at the forefront of using substantive material evidence, their own emails and their own publications that show them to be these agent provocateurs, COINTELPRO infiltrators. And here's how they operate. This is the number one revelation that we've gotten over the last about a month. They create the dissidents. That means that they create each other, and then they create, like, Samuelson will interview Truat will interview Don Nikoloff. Nikoloff will interview Benjamin Fulford. And they create each other's celebrity status, and they all put out, they output all of the anti-government, anti-Illuminati, anti-banking industry propaganda, that
anti-Zionist.
They create that. They put that into our minds, and we buy it. And I'm a victim. I'm one of all, like everybody else. I bought it, and then what they do is they discredit themselves. Like, you look at Fulford. He's got an interview with David Rockefeller, but he looks like he just got out of bed. He's not particularly articulate. He's, if you looked at what he published for the Japanese supposed earthquake, he makes claims that are unsubstantiated, and it discredits him. The background, the backdrop that he used was this dingy, wrinkled gray. Here he is supposed to be a Forbes editor giving notice to the Illuminati that he's going to come and assassinate them. And he's dressed like he just got out of bed. He looks like he has not washed. And he's bumbling. You don't do that if you want to have credibility. Likewise, Truot and Szymanski and all these guys, they output stupid things that discredit them. And so what you have is an operation that creates the problem and discredits the problem makers, the problem articulators. So
discredits everybody as a result. Anybody who says what you say gets tarred with the same brush.
Exactly.
And now you see that we're all mind controlled. No matter which side we take, we're all brain dead because we're all relying on non-reliable people and intelligence that's been hashed.
Yeah. I mean, Len, get this, man. I've been contacted by not less than 5 people after having you on the show at various times, and each of them have come up with that same Knights and Malta list that has been debunked ages ago.
It's
like the recurring dream, you know, that you have in some description of sci-fi thriller movie, you know.
Vinny, these are the COINTEL agents. These are the people that work with them. There's a group of them. These are the ones that are contacting you. We actually
These are just general listeners to the show and stuff like that. I'm saying that this Knights of Malta list is all pervasive. It's freaking everywhere, man, and it's just so heinous and silly to look at it. I mean, when I first saw it for the first time without seeing any debunking, I was just like, what the hell is his name doing in there? That doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, I'll tell you why it started to attack me in 2007. That list got my name on it. I don't know whether it's a legitimate list to begin with, but in 2007, Eric Samuelson, JD, which is an alias for this Greg Szymanski, JD.
Who has a radio show. He's a radio personality.
And this guy is really, I mean, he's kind of slick on the radio. If you're dumb enough to believe it, you can get sucked in easily by Greg Szymanski. Anyway, he created it in 2007. When I came out with The Real Da Vinci Code, now all that hoopla about there being an important code that would be, you know, something that the Illuminati wouldn't want to have, nor the Vatican, nor all this, you know, hoopla over who's got the right code and, you know, how dangerous it is to get it out there. You know, I literally came out with The Real Da Vinci Code in 2007 when they put me on that list. And that code has to do with music. It has to do with the musical mathematics of creation and, most importantly, the love vibration of 528 hertz, that if people vibe to it and simply understand the mathematics and the science and the physics of it, then basically the Illuminati is put out of business. Big Pharma goes down. All of the free energy, the energy industrials go out of business because now you've got everybody celebrating how the Creator maintains the universe in alignment. There is mathematical laws that this code, the Real Da Vinci Code, speaks to, and that's what I did. And that's when they suddenly said, man, this Horowitz guy is a real threat. You know, we could buy his stuff, Emerging Viruses, and we could let him go with, you know, claiming that America created AIDS, you know, because we've got enough
They don't like you to talk about that either.
They do suppress that. But basically,
the funniest thing that I found about AIDS, I think it was like the first outbreaks happened in five places, and all of those five places in Africa were located within 10 miles of U.S. bioweapons research labs.
Exactly. And specifically Litton Bionetics. And Litton Bionetics was also operating at the Presidio in San Francisco, where the major child trafficking operations were ongoing, and the children were also being experimented on with the hepatitis B vaccines that spread HIV/AIDS. And this is, again, Ted Gunderson. You've got to consider his supposed nemesis in the Church of Satan is this guy Michael Aquino, who's the head of the United States military's propaganda MK Ultra mind control operations. And he's now working at the Presidio. He's involved in indictments left and right, gets off the hook every time there's a child abused or sexually assaulted or even satanically ritualed. These guys get off the hook. And Gunderson is supposed to be the leader, the champion for We the People, bringing truth out regarding these. Meanwhile, he's married to Anton LaVey's ex-wife, the Church of Satan founder Anton LaVey dies, and Gunderson marries his ex-wife. Excuse me, and he lied about it all these years. So the intelligence that we now have, using their their writings, you know, exposes them royally, and it shows that you, Vinny, every single one of us, if you got big enough, they would start to do to you the same thing that they've been doing to me now for the last, you know, several years. That's how they do it. They create each other as expert dissidents. And then
I can't wait to get it, because it feels like a moral justification to have COINTELPRO agents come out of you, you know?
Well, that's the way, I mean, we go right at them. People can't believe that we're actually fighting these guys. They're like, nobody else would do that. And I said, well, you know, somebody has to expose them, and they threaten you. They come on with these threats. This latest one, it was in reference to the Gifford shooting, the Judge John Rolls and Gabrielle Gifford shooting from the guy who's harassing us. But it's crazy. I just sent you the email. You'll see how Truot responded to what we said, what we accused him of, and how he's trying to wiggle out of it. So if you read your email, I just sent it to you. It's crazy. You won't believe what he says.
Okay, and so here's the latest news. You ready for a news broadcast, news flash?
Breaking, oh, yeah.
Breaking news right now. The FBI in Salt Lake City is investigating this matter. And then on top of that, in Idaho, the man that is linked to Truot, named David Main, that Truot suddenly now says is a real threat, suddenly tells us, indeed, we got to go to the FBI because this guy is connected to the neo-Nazi Jew-hating organization called the Hister, which... This guy, David Main, links to the Gifford slayings of Lautner, including the killing of Judge Roll, the Bush appointee for federal court justice in the state of Arizona, and the Giffords, this beautiful representative who is also Jewish, who was about to pass legislation or forward legislation to put the drug cartels' money laundering operations through the banks of the United States and elsewhere out of business. She was shot in the head at this thing. And this David Main up in Idaho today will receive a police interrogation. So that's the latest news that's breaking right now in our office.
Can I ask you both, actually, I have a huge concern. You're both Jewish, and with people looking at Zionism, is there not a danger that on the planet's surface, given that Jews only represent 0.22% of the world's theological population, that there will be a lot of innocent Jews who are persecuted because of what's going on in Wall Street, Israel, the Federal Reserve, the media in America, everything seems to be run by them, yet they're less than 2% of the American population. Do you feel a threat might be swept up in this, in an all-consuming sort of consideration of the theological group of Jews on the planet?
Yes, I believe that there's a lot, you know, there's very few Jews that are that wealthy that are in that organization, the global elitists. The majority of people are just regular people out there, and they're all bought into this stereotype. So people are people, they're individuals. You can't blame a race of people for anything.
Well, Jews are not a race, though.
I didn't know you were a race.
Because there was actually something that the Nazis and the Zionists perpetuated, to see Jews as an actual separate race rather than all the different factions. Like there's Sephardis, there's Ashkenazi Jews,
there's tribes, but they do see them as a non-white race, and they do see them as a race that should have been exterminated. Now, there's a lot of Jews that are by nationality they're Jewish. And there's a lot of people by religion, there's Jewish. So you can't, you know, they don't really care if it's by nationality or religion. If they find out it's in your blood and you just didn't convert or became Jewish by religion, then they'll attack you even worse. But they really don't care. They're not prejudiced when it comes to that. They put every one of the Jews in the same box.
That is my concern hugely, that there are a lot of innocent Jews that are going to be swept up because of a huge Jewish community that's running everything in America. And the innocent Jews on the ground are definitely sound, wholesome, beneficial individuals to their neighbors and everybody else, will get swept up innocently into this because the focus is pointing in your direction.
Well, see, I don't think any of the elite are actually Jews, in my opinion, because a Jew to me is a practicing Jew, and these people don't practice any of the tenets of Judaism. They practice in the occult and high level Satanism, things of that nature. There's absolutely nothing Jewish about them.
You know, Vinny, I can subscribe to that, and I'll give you a great example of that. The best example of all, in fact, Henry Kissinger was excommunicated by the Rabbinical Council of Israel for war crimes. Yeah.
Take that, Kissinger.
Isn't that the pot calling the kettle black? Israel has 183 UN resolutions against it. Saddam Hussein only had 29.
Well, the UN UN building was bought by Rockefeller, and it was ruled by Nazis, and now it's just basically trying to turn it into a whole communist state. So I don't really care what they say about Israel, but the fact of the matter is, it's a very nasty state, and they've got one of the most proactive intelligence agencies in the world. Mossad is freaking everywhere, man. For all intents and purposes, if you wanted to look at any particular national state, if we're not talking about the elite, that has an inordinate amount of influence over the United States.
Oh, yeah. Tonight we're gonna make love. You know how I know? Because it's Wednesday, and Wednesday night is the night that we usually make love. It's because it's when everything is just right. There's nothing good on TV. You haven't had your social netball team practice, so you're not too tired. Oh, yeah. Sounds like it's all on. You say something to me like, I might go to bed, I've got work in the morning. But I know what you mean. You mean, oh, yeah. It's business time. It's business time.
It's business. It's business time.
Welcome
back. That's
what
you mean it's business time.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about business time. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide. And my very special guests, Sherry Kane, Len Horowitz, and Roger Walker, and Keelan Balderson from the UK as well. Guys, welcome back from break. Now, we were talking about Jews and the New World Order and how there's an inordinate amount of Jews. And I made the point that, of course, these aren't real practicing Jews. They're just basically a cult-worshipping scum. And my perspective is that basically the occult worshipping scum who have all the inordinate amounts of influence and power in major organizations and governments all over the world are playing off all of the what I deem to be good religions, full of honest, you know, hardworking and generally moral people, to fight against each other and hate each other, while the occultists sit back and live off the blood sacrifice.
I believe that that's totally accurate here. And what also we're disgusted with is the fact that you do have an inordinate amount of Jews who represent both Hollywood and Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan Chase, the banking industry. It's sad to see that these organizations and individuals would fund Jew-hating groups. They literally do that. And so you're absolutely right. The links to the Church of Satan and the disinformation that's used to cover for their corruption is disgusting.
Well, it's got like the filth of Satan hands all over it, you know. And this is where it all ties in with the structure of the world. And we talked over the break, I believe, about child kidnapping and things of that nature and human trafficking. And what's happening now is that even major organizations or companies like, say, DynCorp, for example, are being indicted with major, major trafficking rings that they're running, and even high levels of government, like I believe in the Greek parliament or something like that, a guy was indicted for being part of a huge ring. And it's just like all over the place, this really, really sick underlying elite class of just basically filthy, disgusting, most cult-like scum that you can ever conceive of with, goodness knows what intentions, because they're just so evil that they would destroy and maim each other and anything else in their quest for power over the world. And that's what we really have to get through our minds, is we need to understand where our enemy's really coming from in order to beat them, I believe.
Yeah, I agree. Look at the news yesterday. The headline news was Goldman Sachs is under investigation for bribing Libyan officials and Gaddafi. So here you have the Libyan official who is the most flaming anti-Semite that's out there, or the person out there that is constantly saying is this guy is the guy that's worst nemesis to Israel. And you have Goldman, the name is Jewish. Goldman Sachs, that's another Jewish name virtually. And that organization, like was mentioned, Roger mentioned, has an inordinate amount of Jews that are in official positions within there. Lloyd Blankfein, a Jew, runs the thing, gives money, and works out special secret deals with the enemy of the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. Now, if that's not what we're talking about, I don't know what is.
It's best summed up as described that the world's run by white-collar criminals, and the higher you go, the worse it gets.
Well, yeah. It's like on a pond. The scum doesn't sink to the bottom, but it floats to the top.
Yeah, well, that's the way it seems to be on Earth, you know, which is, again, when you talk about funding of these groups, all the religions are used as political and social engineered types of operations to divide the people and generate crisis capitalism. You know, terrorism leads to wars, leads to military budgets, lots of profiteering there for Lloyd Blankfein et al. At Goldman Sachs working with Carlyle Group. So you begin to see that they are not operating in a standard traditional religious or theological sense. They're operating literally, demonically, and this links to the exposés of the Church of Satan and the Temple of Set that Sherry has done in recent weeks, exposing the infiltrators into the grassroots movements, the 9/11 Truth Movement, the Patriot Movement in America, the right-wing Christian movement in the United States. These are infiltrated and they are manipulated to perceive this Illuminati as a Jew world order operation. But the most incredible thing is that the mind control agents that are involved in spreading the propaganda, they don't realize they're making money from those Jews who are putting out the money to create Jew-hating propaganda and this whole concept. So where does that leave us? We, the people, we realize that we've got to simply turn to love. We've got to learn how to discern who is the true enemy and who is our real friends. And that, I think, is part and parcel of what the 528 Love Revolution is about. The whole concept of the real Da Vinci Code being the most undermining of the power structures of the Illuminati and this whole Jew World Order Zionistic allegation and operation. It undermines it completely because it opens up the key intelligence that tells us how does God operate versus man? How does God operate to create beautiful harmony throughout nature, throughout the universe? And that's the that's the real code. And that's why I think there's only one hope for humanity. It's to open our hearts with the music of love and realize that we are all in this together. It's not about Muslim or black or white or Christian or Jew, or in Sherry's case, she made a very beautiful point the other day at the conspiracy conference. The primary division that's been instituted is male versus female. This whole concept is disgusting. It's deplorable. And again, look at where we are as a male-dominated, patriarchal-oriented world. It's engaged in not just our own demise, depopulation, intoxication, but all those other species that verge extinction because of the manipulation. It's primarily men that are doing this. So again, we could go, you know, we could say, okay, let's blame the Jews for the Zionist movement. Well, why don't we blame the patriarchs for the manipulation of all the women out there? You know, it's like a subclass of species. They don't deserve the right to vote. They're not bright enough to earn the same salaries as our CEOs and Enron at all. So we've got to wake up to a saner consciousness, more conscious reality than the one that we're operating in by mind control manipulation by these agents of Satan.
Exactly. I mean, we have the video. I want to show it to you, Vinny, of us at the conspiracy conference. And there was this this one of the agents, his name is Anthony Hilder, is supposed to be a legend in the conspiracy movement since the 60s. He put out a video about me, and it was pretty much his defense of me saying that he's protecting child sex trafficking pedophiles. And his only response could be that he would put me on a rating system. Well, Sherry's not very bad looking. She's on a scale from 1 to 10. She'd be a blah, blah. You know, I mean, he just went on and just and then talked about another woman, diverted from the attention, talked about another woman that was working at our booth at one of the events and referenced her breasts as being big balloon breasts. And it's a very sexist comment. So I said to him right on the panel of speakers, I said, Anthony, I said, you put out this video, I said, and you really show how sexist you are. And you know what he said? I am a sexist.
Well, there's nothing shameless about shameless self-promotion.
But how many people do you think he lost in his audience from that? All the women, I'm sure.
Well, who knows? Maybe they like it that way.
Oh, man.
Yeah, man, it's real sick, man. And when I think about it, we've got all these kind of disagreements, and some of them aren't just like along philosophical lines. Like let's say you and I have a disagreement, we're not going to like get into some kind of heated argument or start name calling or anything like that. And we'll talk about it in a reasonable fashion. But as soon as somebody like retreats into that sort of ad hominem attack dog kind of stuff, like it just really doesn't seem to be a conversation at that point, more of some description of ranting and raving at the hands of a madman. I remember one time I was out in the middle of the night. I was filming a dance party, and this guy from the National Party, you know, right-wing conservative thing, he said, you know, free market is the best, it's the best, it's the best. He repeats himself three times. Why did you do that? And then he says, how did you get your cell phone? I said, I got it from Vodafone because it's cheap. Yeah, yeah, that's right, because the free market's the best. How did you, where did you get your groceries? And I go, I went to Pack and Save because it's cheap. Yeah, free market's the best. He just runs through these endless examples that are the exact same point that he's trying to make in the first place. Repetition does not an understanding make.
Yeah.
Sorry, what was that, Roger?
There is no free market.
That's right. That's right. And I wasn't able to get it across to this individual because he kept coming up with more of the exact same examples of why the free market is the best.
And
and these are the types of people that are going to become prime minister and such. just absolute, complete and utter contempt for any kind of real discussion. That's what I feel is the real threat to democracy. Those people who, even when facts fly in their face, they simply admit fault and don't change what they're doing.
Exactly. And because they have an agenda. They want to believe a certain thing. And if you help, if you want them to change that agenda, it's not going to serve their purposes. So they rather stay either ignorant or just keep doing it because it serves their agenda.
You know, I think that that's one of the main ways in which we, the people, remain stupid, is by not paying attention to the distraction off of the main questions. Like, the main questions are like, how do we survive and thrive as the economy goes down and as we're being poisoned? Another good question is,
we cooperate instead of compete. That's the only difference. We
exactly. Exactly. And another one is, how do we get the children to stop disappearing in the tens of thousands from America's streets and homes that are involved in child trafficking in the Church of Satan? Those are really important questions. And what the agent provocateurs do is they degrade the entire discussion. They bring it down to this disgusting sexual connotations or these false allegations. What the hell difference does it make if Dr. Leonard Horowitz was a Knight of Malta or not? Look at the work that he's done. I mean, gee whiz, how many hundreds of thousands of children are healthy, if not millions of children, because of the work that he's done? How many thousands of hundreds of thousands of lives did he save by warning people about the risks of vaccinations? It's you see this. It's just stupid.
You could be the Knight of Maltesers for all I care.
Yeah, exactly. It's so stupid. But this is where stupid gets stupid. You know, you get these guys that are hired to work in these CIA, FBI, COINTELPRO groups that themselves are really stupid people. And, you know, if they were really smart, they'd probably figure out that they're just being used as tools for the global beast. But they're so stupid, they don't even realize their paychecks are enabling them to continue the same old, same old. And then they trash the discussions. They distract, and then they discredit the true leaders. And this is the what in Eastern theology is called the Maya, the illusion, the insanity. You know, I call it the hypocrisy, the military, medical, petrochemical, pharmaceutical cartel that runs the mainstream media and the mass mind, creates insanity and degrading discussion and debate, useless, futile, instead of we the people coming and collaborating and getting together a simple short list of what are our most urgent challenges, how to get over them, we could come together in another world.
Indeed, and we'll get into more of this after the break. My very special guests, Sherry Kane and Len Horowitz, as well as Keelan Balderson and Roger Walker. Whew, it's a fruity pie sensation at the Vinnie Eastwood Show today, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll be right back after the break. ladies and gentlemen. Booking it down on the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally, TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. Remarkably special guest and an interesting discussion we've been having here today, to be sure. However, there was something that we sort of touched on in the start of the program that I believe actually needs to be kind of expanded on a bit. It is Bilderberg. Now, Bilderberg's meeting right now. What we didn't get around to is what they're discussing, what's on the agenda for this year. I believe you might have something to say about this, Keelan.
Well, it's more or less the same agenda as it is every year. It's perpetrating this Euro-American establishment and all the corporate leaders that are involved with that. I've got the list here, actually, of the attendees. From a UK stance, where I'm from, we've got the chairman of Barclays Bank, also the chairman of HSBC. Members of the House of Lords are over there. The deputy chairman of Royal Dutch Shell, all sorts of people from the UK. And then from the US side, Microsoft are there, Citigroup, obviously Rockefeller and Kissinger, the chairman of Google, and some of the representatives of the Federal Reserve. So it's really a corporate group that is discussing world affairs right now, and the mainstream media obviously aren't looking into that at all, because if you look into it, according to them, you're a lizard believer and you're an anti-Semite and whatever else they can throw out there to divide everybody.
There's a simple solution to things like this, and it goes quite a long way with courts as well. Why would they keep it secret if it's nothing other than good?
That's a great point to make. What they're talking about is when they get together, it's an elitist meeting, and they're talking about how they're going to take us out through depopulation, through their depopulation agenda, creating new vaccinations, setting out new chemicals in the air with chemtrails, poisoning us through our foods. I mean, whatever they can do to create this agenda to happen and what the next steps are, it's not for anybody else to hear it. And the mainstream media is their tool. The mainstream media allows them to get out to the public what they want them to know and how to scare them, how to create the marketing scams like the H1N1 swine flu fright scam, which is a marketing scare. Hey, you better go get your flu shot. You know, you got to go get it because a lot of people are going to die, especially the old people and the really young babies. So you better get your babies to, you know,
speaking of which, there's five major heads of worldwide media corporations, right? Like the five biggest media corporations in America that own pretty much all the media. How many of those people have gone to Bilderberg Group meetings? Are there any on the current list?
There's a chief editor of The Economist that I know of who's attending from the UK. I'm not sure about anybody else, but they definitely have attended in the past. In fact, Rockefeller thanks them for attending and keeping shtum on it all. So, yeah, the media are definitely represented at Bilderberg, so there's your answer why it's not often covered, or if it is, it's ridicule.
Well, and this happens internationally as well. In fact, a friend of mine told me that when he was working at the New Zealand Herald, that one of the lead editors had been given a free trip to Greece to attend a Bilderberg meeting, and has in payment for all of the wonderful five-star treatment that he had and virtually a week's holiday attending this conference, he had to start making sure that the media was only really reporting stories about disaster and murder and accidents and weather and all of this kind of stuff, you know, just to kind of keep people in that sort of fear paradigm. And from the time that he went to the Bilderberg meeting and then came back to work, within 3 years, or was it 5 years, I think, their investigative reporter staff went from 93 to 5.
Wow.
Could I ask Keelan, actually? Might I ask a question of Keelan, since it's his special subject? Has Ed Balls gone again? Because he actually charged us expenses for travelling to the Bilderberg meeting and then denied ever going. So Ed Balls is either a liar or a thief, and I just wondered if he'd gone again.
Really? Yep. I don't think he's there this year, but somebody really important that is there is George Osborne. And, of course, he's the Chancellor of the Exchequer, and he's responsible for all these cuts that we're facing to pay back the bankers that caused the recession in the first place. So,
yes. Well, the hierarchy of the world is central banks, governments, retail banks, and the people. And commerce, you can flick in as either being owned by the retail banks or the central bankers themselves. So it's corporate control, propaganda control through corporate ownership. And to me, to look at that structure that way, we find out what's going wrong. The ultimate point of failure in the whole economy of the world is that when governments offer government bonds to central banks, they are wrapping up all our birth certificates and saying, we'll tax these people into extinction, and we'll give you this government bond that's interest-yielding, and you give us your money, which they can devalue as fast as they want. In other words, there's no such thing as circulation. That's why the numbers are so big. They have to keep pumping it into the system to keep the game going, because ultimately it will always end up at the banks. Whatever happens, the mathematical flaw made the credit crunch a question of when it happened, not if it would. It's always doomed to literally hoover money out of the general public.
We're like the foolish drunken gambler at a mafioso-controlled casino in the room behind the casino room getting our thumbs taken off.
Yeah. And enjoying it and thinking, yes, take more. Please persecute me, you know, as long as I'm safe, I'm fine.
But take my index finger so I can't properly point it at you and accusedly.
Your veil of mire is the egocentric delusion that stops the individual getting past their own ignorance. Once that's out of the way, you're done. That's an alchemical trick.
We kind of have this sort of electronically imposed ignorance, don't you think? Because a lot of people's learning is comprised of what they see online, what they see on the TV, what they hear on the radio. And because it's all contrived, it means that the vast majority of people really don't know how to think. And, that was the problem.
Nobody's taught them. They want workers. They want workers. They don't want thinkers. Don't educate people. Just train them to do menial jobs and don't educate their minds to think at all. It takes exercise to be an analytical thinker. Anybody can accept anything as rote and belief and just go along with the scheme of things. And they're lawful unfolding. They're just a happening event in the real world rather than somebody standing back and going, hang on, what are those people over there doing to those other people over there? Why are these people persecuting these people?
I want to also bring up point about the mainstream media to you guys again, because if you look at the Partnership for New York City, which Len and I had exposed in late 2009, September actually of 2009, if you look at it, it's a David Rockefeller Foundation. It's co-chaired by Rupert Murdoch, who has News Corp and Fox News, and Lloyd Blankfein, who's the CEO of Goldman Sachs, the biggest funder in ABC Disney, and the biggest funder in AstraZeneca Flumist. And Rupert Murdoch, not only is he the head of Fox and News Corp, but he's also has the Murdoch Children's Research Institute in Australia that conducted the first swine flu vaccination trials on little kids. So there's the media and big pharma connected to each other and David Rockefeller, along with the money, Goldman Sachs. And if you look at the board of directors, now the Partnership for New York City, I want you to know, is responsible for rebuilding the World Trade Centers. They are the finance, the accountants, the whole backing, where all the money went from New York to Las Vegas to the Vere Tower City Center project in Las Vegas. If you look at the board of directors of the Partnership for New York City, you see that almost every single one of them is a media mogul and a funder of Big Pharma.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who's the director of Reuters, who's the director of Reuters? That's not Thomas Glocer. Thomas Glocer. Thomas Glocer is the director of Reuters. He's also the director of Merck Pharmaceuticals. Murdoch, not only does he have the Murdoch Children's Research Institute, his son James is the non-executive director of Smith Kline Beecham. While Murdoch's research institute partnered with Merck Pharmaceuticals, which is a division of Merck, partnered with CSL Pharmaceuticals, which is a division of Merck, and the competitor is supposed to be Smith Kline Beecham, which his son James is the non-executive director of, and his mother has the Royal Women's Hospital in Australia. Now, if you
know, unfortunately, we're kind of running out of time here, but I'd like to thank you guys very much for this very interesting discussion here on the Vinnie Eastwood Show, finishing up another marvelous week. And you can check out the archives at www.thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. It's Vinnie with a Y, and at gorillamedia.co.nz. And you can check out sherrykane.com to hear more from Sherry and Len.
And Dr. Len Horowitz.
You know, yeah. Oh, he's just Lenny to me.
DrLenHorowitz.com is his site.
DrLenHorowitz.com. It almost sounds like it's got an air of prestige.
By the way, if anyone wants more in-depth on my own, if you want to go to YouTube and look at Alchemical Doorkeeper, I have an interview from a guy there where we discuss in depth the phenomenology of human function and why the
world. And we'll be right back tomorrow, and also check out Kellen Bullen at WideShutUK.co.uk.